Anybody who listens to this show, you've known for the last 23 years of me doing this show and long before me, a staple of WMUZ in our listenership has been Scott Goodwin. Okay. And you all know Scott Goodwin Law, of course. You know, the annual Law Day event. A lot of you folks come out to that. It's always a lot of fun. And Scott Goodwin, every so often, we drag him into the studio where we drag him out of the courtroom into the studio where we open up the phone lines, let you folks ask him any legal questions. I mean, he is the head of this team, this network of attorneys in Scott Goodwin Law. And Scott happens to be with me in studio right now. And, you know, if I can invoke my cousin Vinny, you're looking very lawyerly today.
Yes. What's a ute?
I know. Usually, I mean, the last couple of times you've been in here, I mean, really, you've been slacking. It's like, okay, this is obviously not a court date.
You're correct, Bob. But you know
been?
What?
Yeah.
I've been great.
Yeah,
how's great.
Thanksgiving for you?
Thanksgiving was fantastic.
Good.
It's good to be back in the studio, as you know, in person.
I know.
And I'm
you.
Glad that everybody's able to be with their families now and looking forward to Christmas holiday, and it's
right.
going to be great.
Yeah, well, you know, don't forget to Christmas shopping.
I understand.
You know how it works.
I didn't get a chance. You
get
know,
me stuff.
But
okay.
I will.
All right, I'm just
you
saying.
Know,
just
and
saying.
I see that you are well-dressed today in your,
you know what?
Your Snoop Dogg jogging suit.
Suit. Hey, don't, what have you been talking to Jack Schwartz now? Don't be doing that baloney with me. You know better than that.
You look good. You look great.
No,
you,
no, you look good, too. It's always good seeing you. So, hey, listen, I want to ask you because the couple of times that you've been on with me recently, we were talking about the kind of things that happen in auto insurance cases. Because we've discussed this before. Somebody gets in an auto accident, and then they go to the insurance company. They don't call you right away. They should, but they don't. They make so they talk to the insurance company. The insurance company says, "Hey, here's what we can offer you." And I say, "Really? Because it seems like it should be more than that. You know, I got these expenses, these medical bills. I'm missing work. I'm losing wages. I'm financially, we're hurting. Well, you know, that's all we could do. That's where." And then what happens is they go, "Okay, I'll go ahead and sign it." They accept it. Then they end up calling into the show, talking with you 6 months later, and you're like, "Oh, if you had only talked with me first, okay?" So the important thing is we want to make sure that the insurance companies don't pay pennies on the dollar. We want them to pay whatever people are entitled to receive. And so there's one particular, I just want to ask you about this one case. You and I have talked about this before, okay? This is just one of many cases, but it's a perfect kind of example of what we're talking about. This lady who was offered $30,000 for this accident. Now, you're not alone, Scott. You have with you, Gary Safer is with me in studio as well. Gary Safer is, he's on staff with Scott Goodwin
yes.
Law.
He's one of our lead,
one of the counselors.
Lead trial attorneys at
All
our
right.
office. Yep.
And I understand, Gary, you're the one who won this case, right?
Yeah, I think my client won. But yeah, we did everything we could for
you and
was,
your client
that was
won.
Trial.
Right?
That was
so Scott
case.
Takes the credit, but you did the work. Is that how that works now? So is
Scott
this are you full blown emeritus yet? You're not, right?
Here's the deal. Both of us worked really hard on this case, and Gary did a great job. And we were in the courtroom every single day and fighting for, you know, justice and just compensation for this lady. And she really was, you know, they were trying to take advantage of her.
Yeah, give us some background on this. And, what happened exactly?
And I'm going to turn over to Gary just so he can give us a little more background on her.
Yeah, what happened? And I want to stress, too, this isn't just like one case in a vacuum. This is one average representation of what happens all the time.
Exactly.
Okay? And I know you guys fight stuff like this, but this is just one that we're singling out to highlight as an example. So what happened, Gary?
Yeah, this is one of your most straightforward rear-end auto accident cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bread and butter case for our office. This case, I've dealt with the same case 100 times, 200 times, but this case ended up going to trial. A woman was rear-ended, no issues about who's at fault. But she was rear-ended. She went to the hospital like she's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital found that she had a compression fracture in her neck, or her T2, where it's like a thoracic spine. It's right here below your neck.
Yeah.
They found that it was a compression fracture, which is like a crushing fracture. And they put her in a hard collar for a couple months. And as the case went on, you know, we weren't getting anywhere with the insurance company to avoid filing a lawsuit, which we often do. We try to work with the insurance company, give them evidence, try to resolve it so we can spare everybody the litigation expense and cost, and our clients too, because people want resolution. But for whatever reason, we couldn't get it resolved without a lawsuit. They only responded to the lawsuit, so we filed a lawsuit.
Mm.
The insurance company here Throughout the entire litigation, they hired their own staff counsel to handle it for the majority of the case. They kind of dragged their feet. They didn't really do much. The only time that really things got done was when our office really pushed them. We made them answer the questions. We sent them discovery saying, answer it, okay? You're alleging all these defenses to this rear-end clear liability auto crash with clear medical evidence here. You guys are throwing a laundry list of defenses at us. Why? What's your basis for it? No response.
Their basis was to deny, defend, and basically delay justice for this particular individual, this injured person that wasn't expecting this to happen.
Right. And I know we're not saying the name of the insurance company, but let's just say that, you all state the facts. And that's really what we're doing here.
Well, our client was in very good hands.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that my outside voice?
And as Gary said, our client was in very good hands.
Yes.
With us.
There you go.
So this case went on and on. And what happens in these cases is when you're in litigation against someone, there's still an insurance claim. The insurance company hires the lawyer. The insurance company pays the bills. The insurance company pays the claims. So anytime you guys are jurors and you're sitting in a courtroom and it's a personal injury case, there's insurance 99 times out of 100 unless it's some sort of special case.
But we can't tell you that. In other words, we can't. It's against the rules, technically. It's against the court rules, evidentiary rules, to tell a jury that there's insurance covering this claim. Okay. Mm. It's also against the rules, court rules, to tell them that the person got a ticket that ran into them. Okay. So you can't bring these things up. And people on the jury, they wanted to know.
Well, it matters to them who's at fault, right?
Yes, but they wanted to know. Yeah. They wanted to know who's responsible to pay these bills. Yeah. They don't realize they're not being told it's the insurance company, so they see this person on the other side and they don't want to stick them so hard for all the bills. So we don't like that situation. So we're telling everybody out there that's listening, if you're sitting on a jury, assume there's insurance coverage to cover this claim.
Right.
Or don't consider it at all because the lawyers are there for a reason. You know, we don't work for free. We're going to recover something, and it's probably not against Joe Schmo, that's the poor guy getting sued here on the other side of the aisle. And the other thing we're not allowed to talk about is settlement discussions. We can't talk to the jury about all the efforts we made to try to settle the case before we ended up at trial. Or all the efforts that we made to try to avoid wasting our community members' time with a case that's basically a frivolous defense. Mm. We can't do that.
In this particular case, in this particular company, the standard is they have their house counsel. That's their in-house counsel that they pay, salary, to gum up the works. And then at the end, you go into court for these settlement conferences with the judge, and they show up with their adjuster. And their particular adjuster in this case, very nice lady, but it's her playbook to offer only $5,000. $5,000. And then unfortunately, there's a lot of lawyers out there, plaintiff's lawyers, that take the $5,000 because, one, they don't want to spend the money, time. They're afraid to go to trial. They don't want to go to trial. So they just take the money, and the case is over, and it's done with. My firm, Scott Goodwin Law, with Gary here too, okay, we don't play that game, okay?
Right.
And they know, and they fight. And in this particular case, we wound up with another outside law firm coming in to try this case because their in-house law firm was never going to try this case.
Yeah.
They don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
And so then we wind up with this outside law firm and go, Gary.
So they called in the big dogs because they were tired of this, uppity little personal injury lawyer giving them a hard time. They thought they were going to just bury us with this very, and to the other lawyer's credit, I'm not going to name him, but he's a very, very fine lawyer. Excellent trial lawyer. He'd be scary for anybody going to trial against him. He was a tough opponent. But what happened was before this case ended up getting to trial, we had been preparing this case for trial from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Some plaintiff lawyers end up at trial because it's an accident or because they're gearing the case for settlement, which is almost a surefire way to end up at trial with your pants down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up at trial here and because we were planning to. That was the goal. We wanted to get justice for this woman. And what happened was we still tried to make efforts to resolve it, but we weren't resolving from a place of weakness. We're resolving from a place of we're going to win.
Right.
And so that's where we ended up with a $30,000 offer. And I sent the adjuster back a letter saying, are you sure?
You got to be kidding me.
I didn't even say, are you kidding me? I said, are you sure? Have you told your insureds, the people that were suing, have you told them that this is what you're going to do to them?
Yeah, just $30,000 because that wasn't really enough. Gary, I'll tell you what. Hang on just a second, okay? Because we're going to short break, and then I want to pick it up from there, talk about what happened next. And we're just kind of giving you folks, pulling back the curtain a little bit and letting you see some of the mechanics of what's involved sometimes in getting the kind of settlements adjustments to the pay and certainly justice that you need. So this is Scott Goodwin Law. You've heard Scott Goodwin on this show for so many years. It's great having him in studio right now. And, of course, Gary Safer, who is a counselor as well with Scott Goodwin Law. And so we'll continue the discussion coming up next. By the way, let me get out the number, 1-888-GOODWIN. You hear it all the time, folks. So, you know, you can call Scott Goodwin Law, get right on the phone with Scott Goodwin and tell him what's happening. He'll look into it from there. So it's 1-888-GOODWIN. And if we get a chance in a little bit, maybe we open the phone lines for a little bit and let you folks ask me any legal questions now. But we'll continue the discussion next here on the Bob Duco Show. Sitting here with Scott Goodwin, my friend Scott Goodwin. 23 years now we've known each other. That's incredible. I've aged 23 years. You look the same.
The studio looks fantastic. I got to tell you, Bob, if your listeners saw you live from where it started, it looks fantastic right now.
It does. They've done a nice job in their whole redecorating and everything else. So. And of course, Gary Safer, who is with us. Gary Safer, of course, who is a team counselor with Scott Goodwin Law, and was successful in winning this case. So this woman, she gets offered $30,000 for this, right? The adjuster is like, yeah, $30,000. That's what we're going to go with. And you guys are like, no, I don't think so. This lady actually really deserves a lot more than that. How in the world do you turn $30,000 into $400,000? Because that was the settlement in this case. It was one of our listeners too.
Yeah, so it was one of your listeners. And it wasn't a settlement; it was a judgment. The way you turn a $30,000 offer into a $400,000 judgment is belief in your client. And knowing what they're entitled to, and a lot of hard work, and a lot of belief in your firm and yourself. After we got offered $30,000 for our client, we obviously talked to our client about it, but she wasn't happy with it either. So what we did was we just stuck with the game plan. It was go to trial. And this case was always go to trial. Mm-hmm. So everything we did in this case was go to trial.
Right.
So we set it up. We prepared everything. We had everything ready to go. The war machine was in full bore, and we did end up at trial. They called in the outside lawyer to try to, gum up the works, throw us off our game. They filed every motion under the sun. They tried to extend things. They tried to push the trial date. They tried to do everything they could to wiggle out of everything that had already been done in the case. And they were unsuccessful in that, but they tried, to their credit. They fought hard. But we ended up at trial, and it ended up being about a week long trial. We took a day to get to know our jurors and pick our jury, which is, it's called voir dire, is what lawyers call it, but it's jury selection.
Grueling jury selection.
It was brutal. I think I was talking for about 8 hours straight. By the time I got home, my wife was like, God, Gary, you're so quiet. You're so quiet tonight. Why are you so quiet? You never are this quiet. I'm like, I've been talking all day. I need a break.
It's a great victory, which, by the way, Scott, I think I might have told you this, that I got voir dire off of a jury.
I'm sure you did.
Okay. But listen. All right, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. We'll take a side thing here. Quick anecdote. All right. I've never actually sat on a jury. I've been called for jury duty a handful of times, and I always end up either not getting called or. But this one time, it's like, okay, I got called. I was one of the original pool taken in there. And then I was first one called. I'm juror number one. So I'm sitting in juror number one seat, and they fill up the other 12. So I go, okay, fine. So we're sitting there.
Was it a criminal case?
It was a criminal case.
And by the way, just so the listeners know, because it's very important, the standard in a criminal case and what you see on TV and the CSI things and all the crimes is different than in a civil case. In a criminal case, the prosecutor, which I guess you can call us as plaintiff's lawyers here.
Right.
They have to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Much higher threshold.
For us, it's a smaller threat. It's a civil case.
Right.
And
it's just preponderance of evidence.
Preponderance of evidence. Just more likely, you know, than
right, exactly.
Half.
The burden is probably.
Right, yeah. Right. So I'm sitting there, and the lawyers, you got the prosecuting attorney, okay, the local prosecuting attorney, she's sitting there with her team. And then over there is a defense team and this guy was accused of drug dealing and selling drugs to an undercover cop and whatever. Okay, fine. It was apparently a pretty serious thing. He was kind of a bigger hitter, and so it was going to end up being potentially a big case. And so they're voir diring everybody in here, okay? Nobody's asked me a single question. I'm just sitting there, right? So I just wasn't asked a question. So finally, it finishes. They're pretty much done. It's like both attorneys are comfortable with juror number one. I must have the right face for each one of them or something. So the judge decides the judge is going to voir dire me just because she didn't want somebody on the jury that wasn't voir dired. All right. So the judge says to me, juror number one, she says, would you... She said, let me ask you something. If the evidence shows that the defendant is guilty, then would you have a problem rendering a verdict of guilty knowing that it could send him to prison for years? And I said, well, is this a preponderance of evidence case or is this a beyond reasonable doubt case? She said, beyond reasonable doubt. And I said, well, yes, of course I would. I said, if the evidence shows me beyond reasonable doubt that he's guilty. And so the judge said, all right, well, let's say then that most of the evidence shows he's guilty, but not all of it. How would you rule? I said, I can't. I said, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the evidence is. She says, okay. So the judge says, all right, then let's say that there are five pieces of evidence presented and the prosecution has proved its case on four of them, but not the fifth one. Would that be enough for you to consider beyond a reasonable doubt? And I said, Your Honor, I don't mean to be problematic, but I still can't answer that question intelligently because I don't know the weight of that fifth piece of evidence weighed against the other four. So I would have to wait until I heard what the actual evidence was and then render a decision how much weight to give each one of these pieces. And as soon as I said that, the defense attorney stood up and said, I'd like to dismiss juror number one. Okay, for cause
for
or whatever.
Cause? For cause? Was it for cause or preempt? In other words, for cause is because they think you're biased or you won't be fair to their client for some reason. And a peremptory, they can just kick you off just because they don't like the color of your shoes.
Yeah, I think they were done with the peremptories. And so I think he had a cause left and he used his cause. Okay. And it's like, I didn't say anything that could remotely be considered biased. Okay. So, but when I said that, to me, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is painfully obvious this guy's guilty. The defense attorney does not believe in his own client because otherwise he would want somebody like me on the jury who's going to get to what the facts are. And anyway, as soon as that happened, I look over to the prosecutor and the prosecutor looked at me and smiled and just slowly shook her head like, that's too bad. I really would have liked to have had you on this. So anyway, so I get up to dismiss, and as I'm walking past the prosecutor's table, she looks up at me and smiles as I walk by, and I just kind of whispered, sorry. So that was the closest I got to actually sitting on a jury.
But it's fun. So, well, isn't it interesting?
It really is. Scott and Gary, do you guys watch the Perry Mason and those kind of shows? And I mean, I know it's Hollywood and it's whatever, inside the courtroom itself, I mean, what is that like to be arguing a case like that? To be like, I'm actually doing the kind of stuff that you see in movies and TV shows and stuff like that. Well, is there a way to describe what that feels like?
Well, it's exhilarating, but it only is when you're fighting for what you believe is right. You know what I'm saying? You are on a mission, mm-hmm. and we're passionate about what we do. And it's interesting because when I interview attorneys that maybe want to come over to our side, to the plaintiff side,
right.
I ask them, well, why do you want to make a change? And they're like, you know, I don't feel like I'm making any difference. In fact, I'm the opposite. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be stuck doing this for the rest of my life because, I'm kind of representing the bad guys, the bullies. And so when we're representing someone and trying to get justice for them and we believe in their case, and Gary, to his credit, from the moment this case started, really believed in our client. And she is a WMEC listener, and he really believed in her mm-hmm. case, her family, and you become part of their family. And when you bring them in to trial, you know that you're on the right side of things. You know, you're not on the wrong side. You're not making things up.
It's right.
I tell my clients all the time, I say, listen, don't lie because you have too much to remember. You know what I'm saying? You right. have to, if you tell the truth right. all the time, and we can deal with bad stuff, like what they sure. perceive as bad. Right. Just tell me what it is. Don't hide it from me. Tell me what it is mm-hmm. so that we can deal with it if it comes up. We don't want any surprises. As trial lawyers,
yeah.
we don't want surprises. We don't want that Perry Mason moment, okay, against us. We right. want to know the warts, okay, as well
sense.
As the good stuff. Right. You know, we can deal with the warts. You know, there's a lot of things that we can deal
that
with if we know
sense.
About them ahead of time. But we can tell the jury right up front if there's a problem with the case. Or we mm-hmm. can explain to them why they may think it's a problem. But the court rules, the jury instructions, deal with that issue all the time. And a lot of that is, as we get older, mm-hmm. we all have some pre-existing issues. When you hit somebody, you're not hitting Dak Prescott or Jared Goff, okay, mm-hmm. who's in tip-top shape. You could be a 70-year-old, a 75-year-old, an 80-year-old that has, some problems with their back
right.
over the years
right.
or, a laborer that's struggled. But all of a sudden, you get hit. Okay,
right.
and now, yes, it's really a
right.
problem.
Oh, I know it is. By the way, I don't know if Jared Goff is in tip-top shape. Last couple of games. This last game, not so bad. Opening one, he fumbles in the opening. What are you, kidding?
We're praying, we're hoping. Please,
okay.
Lions, get there. Just get to the Holy Grail.
Hold on a second, guys. We'll talk a little bit more coming up next. More with Scott Goodwin Law, and Gary Safer with Scott Goodwin Law as well. And we're just kind of talking about a day in the life of attorneys and the way that this works. But remember, folks, any kind of legal issues that you're dealing with, whether it's an auto accident, whether it's a slip and fall, whether it's it could be medical malpractice, mistake at the hospital, things like this do happen. And you want to make sure that you're not shortchanged by the insurance companies. And this is why you need to give them a call at 1-888-GOODWIN. You never pay anything out of pocket with them until and unless they win for you. And it comes out of that. You have zero to lose. And they'll talk with you. Scott Goodwin will talk with you directly, free of charge as well. 1-888-GOODWIN. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more coming up next. I don't get to catch up with you often enough, Scott.
I know.
So we did text each other a little bit during the Lions game a couple weeks
we
ago.
Did. We
you
did.
Were there. I wasn't. But I was. You were dying in person. I was dying watching it on TV.
I made that road trip. I put that one on the schedule for a road trip.
Oh, all right.
It was great.
More with these counselors coming up next here on the Bob Duco Show. In with my friend Scott Goodwin, of course, Scott Goodwin Law. I feel like such a big shot, the access that I have to you. But you know what? My listeners get just as much access. They really do.
They do.
And it actually is kind of surprising to them because they'll call 1-888-GOODWIN. I get the number every day. It's like, yeah, I'm one of Bob's listeners, and I need to talk to Scott. And then suddenly they're hearing Scott Goodwin here, and they're like, what? Seriously? I thought there was like 19 layers I had to go through or something.
And they always say
to
me,
you take the calls. You don't filter yourself with a bunch of buffers.
I don't. And they always say to me, boy, you sound just like you sound on the radio. I said, well, that is me. It's not AI. It's me.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
But, and that is important that they get communication and that they have access.
Right.
And they know who I am, and they can trust me because I've been doing this for over 37 years now. 37 years. I can't even imagine.
37 years.
Yeah,
that is
a long time.
And you started when you were in your late 50s. So you can imagine, folks, how bad he looks. All right. I'm just saying. No. Passed the bar when you were like nine, I think.
It is interesting because I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning that I could remember on what I wanted to do.
Go deeper into that. What do you mean you always knew you wanted to be?
Did.
When you were, okay, seriously, when
yes.
you were a kid,
when
it's like, I want to be a lawyer. Would you just see
Perry
Mason episode?
I just
it's like, that's what I
wanted
to do.
I wanted to be like an advocate against the bullies. I wanted to be I just wanted to be in that arena, and I did. I watched all those shows as growing up,
sure.
everything, and the police shows too, that as you used to see when you were younger. And I just wanted to do that. My parents wanted to be the doctor. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't like the blood and the shots
right.
and Okay. I'm just telling you, and the smells, I want to be a lawyer.
No,
okay?
I get it. You know, okay? I get it.
All right. I always wanted to be a lawyer. So as much as they push me, and nobody in my family really was a lawyer, they weren't a doctor, that my dad was in business. He wasn't, you know, he worked every day as a laborer. So he wasn't in that field. So, and I'm well-rounded because I learned why I didn't want to be taking wallpaper off the walls, that my dad had me taking wallpaper off the walls. That was my, you know, my first job, and the glue off the walls, and just working really and pulling wire as an electrician before they had, you know, drilling the drills with where they, we didn't have power drills. You had to use the hand drill. Okay. I did all of this stuff growing up. Okay. And I said, Dad, I want to be a lawyer. That's what I'm going to do. All right. And so what's interesting is I did have that goal and that dream and that plan, and I executed that plan right, you know, through high school, you know, in the pre-law, you know, in college, and not taking any breaks. It was immediate, you know, getting into law school and, you know, not taking that year off or whatever the kids do now, not on the decade plan, you know, sitting around for 10 years at college. I wanted to get out and get into the trenches, and I worked through law school. I worked as a law clerk, and I did all of that stuff. So I learned, I absorbed it right from the beginning, and I learned all the different courts around Metro Detroit, because back then, you didn't have e-file. You physically drove the documents to the court, and you got to know the clerks, and you got to know, you know, all the how it all worked internally, which I thought gave me a leg up, because when I went to law school, I wasn't afraid of being a lawyer. Right. I wanted to be a lawyer. So that was, you know, that's part of it.
When you guys talk amongst each other, you know, like—
We have fun, Bob.
You and I know, but I'm just kind of curious, because you guys— You speak your own lawyerese language, okay? And it's like, you know, do you talk to each other privately? Like, okay, where unto the party the first part does here unto through the, you know, referred to as, you know, AKA, you know. But you guys, seriously, it's like you talk in this lawyer kind of language.
Well, that's what you see in the papers. The bottom line is, it really is about people, okay, what we do.
Yeah.
And it really is, at the end of the day, if you have a credible client, you know, someone who you can believe in, someone who a jury can believe in, that's going to jump out. And that's how you're going to win your case. You know, you can't just make things up. You have to have a credible client. It's like building a house. You got, if you don't have a good foundation, that house is going to crumble.
Right.
And people, you know, every lawyer that gets up there says, use your common sense to the jury. Use your common sense. We always hear that. And if something doesn't smell right,
I know.
You're not gonna. It doesn't matter how much deodorant you spray or Glade you spray.
Lipstick,
it's still
gonna
stink.
Right.
Okay.
No, I know.
All right.
I know.
That old fish is still gonna stink. Okay. All right. So the bottom line is, it has to be. It has to be a credible client.
Right.
Period.
Right. No, that's a very good point. I'll tell you
what.
We got one more short break we're going to take here. Okay, we'll spend our last few minutes together.
We can finish up with Gary telling how the result was on that case.
That's right. Well, you know, I know. We talked about it already, right? Big. We'll get the finish coming up in just a second here. I want to remind everybody, you can give them a call at 1-888-GOODWIN. All right, 1-888-GOODWIN. Any kind of legal issues that you think you may be dealing with here, whether it's an auto accident, whether it's you know, a dog bite attack, whether it's a medical mistake at the hospital.
Slip and falls now.
Like that. Hey,
getting cold, and we've got new laws.
I know. It's winter time and stuff like that. And by the way, and I do have to say also, there are some Christians who have a misunderstanding about Scripture and the law. And I want to make sure that we're clear on this, okay? Because some Christians misinterpret Scripture to say that you can never file lawsuits. And that's actually not true, okay? If you look in Scripture, there are guidelines for lawsuits among believers, okay? If you have two believers and you have a dispute, what you're not supposed to do is first course of action, take them straight to court. No, you try to resolve it. And that's actually something that you guys do. You try to resolve this out of court as much as possible. But when that can't be done, that's when you avail yourself of the court system. Remember, there's an entire book of the Bible called Judges, okay? God established, okay, judges. There's places throughout the Old Testament we see about, as a matter of fact, in Exodus 22, it even talks about if a woman's baby is injured as a result of negligence from men that are fighting, specifically says the man shall pay a fine as the husband demands and the courts allow.
Okay, can't get so more biblical
words,
than that.
You pay yep. a fine for yep. restitution, the maximum amount allowable by law. This is a biblical. It's just if you have a brother or sister in Christ, try to resolve it with each other first. Your course of action should not first be let me haul you into court. Okay, but if you've tried that and you can't resolve it, then it's like, okay, now we need to resort to the legal system that exists. Okay, so, but anyway, hang on a second, guys. Short break. We'll spend our last few minutes together next. More with the counselors, Scott Goodwin, Scott Goodwin Law, of course, Gary Safer, and give Scott a call 1-888-GOODWIN, and we'll talk our last few minutes next here on the Bob Duco Show. Anyway, Gary, full circle now. What we were talking about, the case from before the auto accident, had $30,000 that the woman was offered.
Yeah.
And so you're like, I don't think so, Scooter. And so would you turn
Scooter?
So the 30, Ron White. I don't think so, Scooter. Okay. So, big payoff though. I mean, $30,000 turning into $400,000. It's obviously she's glad she called you guys a Scott Goodwin Law.
Yeah, it was justice. What happened was, we went through this trial, and what people need to know is that auto insurance coverage is you usually have something called policy limits. It's what you pay for. You pay for your bodily injury policy limits. Most people's coverage, the standard amount is $250,000 of coverage. Mm-hmm. That's what your insurance pays to protect you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if they screw that up, and if they drag a case out, and a lot of jurors had never heard the phrase frivolous defense before, but it certainly happens when there's needless delay, needless denial, and just dragging your feet to hopefully have somebody settle cheap, you can blow those limits open. And what happened in this case was it was a $250,000 insurance policy, and we were doing everything we could to try to resolve within that policy. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what a lot of lawyers think. That's all you can do is settle for the policy. I got you the policy. That's the best I can do. Not true all the time.
Right.
When insurance companies don't play by the rules and when they act in bad faith and don't negotiate properly and they expose their insureds, those defendants that were in trial with, to a verdict beyond their policy and they didn't protect them, well, then the insurance company is going to be on the hook for anything beyond that policy. And we in our office has a, we have a system. We've got a playbook for how we set these big verdicts up.
Right.
And
so that we get paid. Right.
Because
that comes in handy.
Because there's a lot of times people will get a big verdict. They'll get a lot of big verdict, but they won't get paid.
Right, right.
And so it's like, yeah, you got $1 million verdict, but you get paid the policy. And that's it.
Right.
In our case, it was a $400,000 verdict. We also got costs and we also got interest. Right. And so the final payout ended up being was
$461,000
and they paid it.
That's the way it ought to be. So
great.
Guys, it's great seeing you.
You too, bud.
Scott, it's always good catching up with you too. Gary Safer, great seeing you guys. Thanks a lot, counselors.
You too.
Great seeing you. All right, we'll transition over to Chris coming up next here on the Bob Duco Show.